Happy Resurrection Sunday. Maybe we needed a trial run. Let's try it again. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Of all people in the world, we ought to be the most joyful today. We've got all this in heaven too. A little down payment now, and then forever with Him. And we bless Him for that today. I want to thank you for your prayers for our Nigerian mission team. We all got back safe and sound, blessed by God. We felt your prayers. We felt the power of God. There are times in which it was palpable. You could feel God's presence through the prayers of God's people. I thank you for sending us out. I thank you for all the joy. And as Dr. O'Carey told us over and over again, all of us went. Some of us just got to take the trip. So you were there with us in our hearts and as we shared. And even as we were worshiping here, I wrote to Dr. Amadi early this morning an email. At that time, they were worshiping the Lord this morning, and I just kept thinking about what it was going to be like in Nigeria this morning, and I know it was great. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for being faithful to the Lord. It is Resurrection Sunday. We've come from a lot of different places today. For some of you that are here today, it might be the first time you've been in a worship service in a long time. We're glad you're here. For some of you that might be kicking the tires of Christianity and saying, I don't know about all this stuff, we're glad you're here. For some of you who are here every week, And this is another day, but you're excited about the Lord today, I'm glad you're here. And for some of you that are just still trying to figure out why you're here, and you've got that cow looking at a new gate look on your face this morning, then I couldn't use that one in Nigeria. Then we're glad you're here too. I hope you'll hear from the Lord today. I've never been more relaxed in my entire life. Relaxed in the Lord and relaxed in what He's going to do today. Because today you're not going to hear from me. I'm just going to be an instrument of the Lord. I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment. And it's a prayer I pray here often. It's called a Velco prayer. And I'm going to ask the Spirit of God to let what He wants to stick to you today stick. Only the stuff He wants to stick today. And let the rest of it fall to the floor. And for you and me to hear from the Lord today. Are you ready? Ready to pray that prayer with me? Let's pray together. Lord, we bless you on this Resurrection Sunday. It's a wonderful day. It's a glorious time. It's spring, and we bless you. We see the flowers, and we see all the reminders of the power and presence of God. Lord, I want to thank you for our worship team as they have led us right to the throne of grace. And Lord, as we worship you in spirit and truth today, and we praise you and we give you honor and glory, there is no other in all the earth. You alone are God. You are Lord over it all, and we bless you today. And I thank you that you've gathered us here today, all of us, Lord. And no two of us are the same. And we've come from different places with different agendas today. But I ask you, Lord, today that you'd speak to us. And Lord, that message that you want to stick today would stick. And let all the other stuff, anything that is of me, Lord, today, I just pray it could just fall to the ground today. And may it be you flowing through this place now, Lord, as we proclaim the gospel message, the good news message. I thank you, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place right now. Speak to us clearly and plainly. In the name of our Lord Jesus and in His power and in His authority, we make this prayer. Amen. Now I want to direct you to Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. And just read these two verses to you this morning. Here's the Apostle Paul saying to the church at Philippi, I want to know Christ and the power that raised Him from the dead. I want to share in His sufferings and become like Him in His death. Then I have hope that I myself will be raised from the dead. I went on the internet early this morning just to see, might be interesting for you to do today, just to see what you get when you punch in resurrection. And I got a lot of different responses on that. Many, many hits on resurrection. I found an atheist that he didn't believe any of it. He had never bought any of it. I found a priest who said he had lost his faith and he no longer trusted in the resurrection of Jesus. I found a lot of preachers who had a lot of messages about the resurrection. There are a lot of opinions about the resurrection, aren't there? A lot of different ways people look at it. But all of them can't be right, can they? There's only one of them. Either He arose from the dead or He didn't. There's not a halfway mark in there. It's one or the other. Now today, I want to talk about the power of the story, the power of the resurrection story. God brought you here today. You're not here by accident. You had a divine appointment with the Lord. In eternity past, He decided you were going to be here this morning and that you would be hearing the good news message of Jesus. So why not open up right now and hear what the Lord has to say to you? Not what I have to say, but what Jesus wants to say to you. Jesus gives us real power to live. Now some of you are wondering, how are you going to get through your life? How are you going to make it? How are you going to get to the next place? You're wondering about the world. You're wondering about the economy. You're wondering about all the things that are going on in the world right now. You may be thinking about that ship captain. You know, in that lifeboat. You may be thinking today about what's going to be the next shoe that drops in the world system today. You may be thinking about Kim Jong-il in North Korea or what the Chinese are going to be doing or what the Russians up to right now. You may be thinking about all sorts of things. And you may be thinking about, did I turn the stove off before I left the house? Did I turn the iron off? I want you to know today, Jesus offers to you power to live. There are scores of people in the world today who are living powerless lives. And you look at all the desperate things that people do to try to get power. There's not a suicide bomber out there that has ever embarked on that mission without a sense of powerlessness in his life, thinking that maybe if I do the ultimate in taking my own life, that will bring me power into my life. Well, I want you to know today, Jesus will give you real power to live if you let Him. The reason why I know that is because Jesus is alive. 1 Corinthians 15 is a resurrection chapter of the New Testament. I'm not going to read it today, but I encourage you sometime today, if you'll take the Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and read that. It's all about the resurrection, that Jesus arose from the dead. The message of Easter is simple. He arose from the dead. He's alive. He was dead, and now he's alive. He's alive in our lives. I want you to hear the weight of the eyewitness reports. As you look in the Bible is not one book. The Bible is a collection of 66 books. You look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and you look at the testimony in Acts, and you look at the testimony in the letters in 1 Corinthians, and you see all of these facts. Eyewitnesses saw him alive. Mary Magdalene saw him at the empty tomb. A group of women saw him early on Sunday morning. Cleopas and that other disciple, unnamed disciple on the road to Emmaus, saw him, actually walked with him, and actually sat down to a meal with him. Peter saw him in Jerusalem. 10 of his disciples saw him in the upper room when Judas had already taken his life by that time, and Thomas was not present. 11 saw him a week later in the upper room. 7 of his disciples saw him as he gave a fish fry on the beach after his resurrection. 500 saw him at one time. Right before his ascension. 11 saw him on a mountain in Galilee. James saw him. A large group, the scripture says, saw him ascend into heaven, watched him go up into heaven. Paul saw him on the road to Damascus as Jesus, in the middle of the day, knocked him down with that bright light. And he said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Christians have experienced him over these 2,000 years, and we experience him right now. He is here. He is alive. We're not telling stories about someone simply that, he was spotted over here. He was spotted over there. It's interesting. At our mealtime on Christmas Day, when we gather, there's one question at our house that people ask when my family gets together for Christmas dinner. And the question is, where is Vic? Now, some of you don't know who Vic is. Vic is my brother. And only Jesus knows where Vic is most of the time. And so we sit down and we ask that question. And some will go around and say, well, his wife will say, well, I saw him earlier this morning. His daughter says, well, I saw him. And I'll say, well, I talked to him on the phone. All of that is witness, isn't it? He was spotted. He was spotted early that morning. He was spotted other places. But finally, you know what the conclusion is, that everyone can rest when something happens? The door opens, and what happens? He comes in. You can hear all the eyewitness report, but there's nothing like the eyewitness of actually seeing the person yourself and experiencing him. And that's what we do today. We're experiencing the presence and the power of the risen Lord Jesus. He's here. He is here. He is present. He was waiting on us here to come and worship and commune with him. Now, Jesus has power over life and death. That means he has power over sin. Now, some of you may have arrived here and you've been checking out Christianity. Now, let me give you one of the pluses of having a relationship with Jesus. Here's a big plus. You know that garbage in your past? Listen to me closely now. You know that garbage in your past? You know that junk that you can't get rid of? You know that stuff that just seems to creep back in every relationship you've had? And maybe you've had multiple marriages, multiple relationships, your friends, your family. The same old junk, the same story happens over and over and over again in your life. And it's not a different story. It's the same stuff that happened. And you can't seem to get rid of that garbage. I want you to know, that's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why he died in your place. That he would take your sin away. All the garbage, all the things that you did, all the things that other people did, so that sin is powerless against you. So it can no longer control your life. That's a wonderful truth, that God would do that. That he would change you. That he would make you into a new person. Look at Paul's life in the New Testament. Here's a guy who had begun to make his living by persecuting Christians and putting them to death. And he actually presided over the stoning of many Christians. And God decides that he's going to extend his love to him too. And he changes his life, makes him a new person. And does he keep living in the past? No. Because see, the evil one wants to remind you of your past. But you know what? When he reminds you of your past, what you've got to do is remind him of his future. And your future. Because your future is bright. He knows where he's going. He knows what it's going to be about. Jesus has power over life and death. He has power over death. He died on the cross. He put to death death. He has no longer has power over any of us. Threaten my life. What do you threaten me with? You threaten to kill me. What does that do? I just get to heaven before you do. Now, do I want to die? No. But as far as having the big hammer that I'm going to threaten you with something, it's no threat. Right now, Christians around the world are laying down their lives for their faith with joy in their hearts. You know, Jesus also has power over history. He has the power of life and death. History is in his hand. He's the centerpiece of history. Imagine that. We judge time by Jesus. We judge history by Jesus, by who he is. And regardless of what all the other world religions decide they want to do, have you ever thought of this? Why is it that they just want to get rid of us who claim Jesus? Because that good news message is powerful. Because Jesus is in control of everything. He's in control of history. He has power over sickness. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I saw a young man last week that couldn't hear. Now he hears. Who did it? Jesus. He has power over life and death. He has the power and the ability to give you a brand new life. Yes. He can jack your old life up out of the way and drive a new one in under it. Well, you have the power to live. The power to be his person. To start a brand new life. To turn the page and not have your past dictate your future. Because he's in control. He has the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is the very Spirit of Jesus who is here right now. Who is working and who is alive. And that tug you feel at your heart right now, that's not me. I'm not that persuasive. The tug you're feeling on the inside right now as you're concerning the claims of Christ on your life is the power of the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus who loves you. Now, number three. So Jesus wants you to start living, to begin living. Look at this scenario. His love forced him out of heaven to come and die on a cross in our place. Imagine this now. That he was compelled to come and die in our place. He chose it, yes. But our need was crying out to him. And he could do something about it. And he did. He came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross in our place. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, he arose from the dead. He ascended back to the Father, sat down, work completed in heaven, sent his Holy Spirit then to this earth who would be speaking to us, moving in our lives that would draw us to him. And everyone who comes to him in faith and trust, he will accept. No one will he reject. No one. Not one person. Because you see, he doesn't look at your portfolio. He doesn't look at your job status. He doesn't look at what color your skin is or where you were in the socioeconomic strata. And when he looks at your past, what he's looking at is what he died for on the cross. And he says, I'll take care of your past. You give me your future. Jesus wants you to begin living today, to start living a brand new life in him. But you know what? Before you can start living, you got to die. You got to die. A death must occur. All right? Go to number four. We'll talk about that in just a second. It's not enough to know all this great information. That's all good stuff. And I dare say that 90% of you that have heard what I've just said this morning, you're shaking. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. That makes sense. All right? You could know all this information, and then you could still miss him. You could still miss the relationship with him. Because it's still possible that you not meet him personally. It's still possible that you would not experience him in your life. It's still possible that you would not receive the life that he offers. You know, it's like dying of thirst and having a room full of water right next door to you and not taking a drink. My question for you today is, have you taken a drink of him? Have you received him in your life? You can receive his power today. You can have the life that he offers. Here's how. It's not just a dream that God loves you. You're not dreaming that today. God really does love you. He looks beyond your sin and he sees you. He loves you because it is you that brought him out of heaven to die in your place on the cross. He loves you that much. He doesn't love you if he loves you. Simply, plainly. The life that Jesus offers to you is a free gift. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't pay money for it. It's a gift. And how do you get a gift? You receive it. You accept it. And it's life you can have immediately, right now. Secondly, you can have power today over the stuff that defeats you. He died to pay the price for your sin on the cross. Let me tell you this today. There is nothing you have ever thought, done, experienced that He does not have immediate recall of right now. Let me do it again. He's God. Now you think of the sum of your life, everything you've ever done, every wrong thing you've ever thought, every time you've been out of line, every word that's come out of your mouth that's been inappropriate. Now listen to me. I'm going to click my fingers, and when I click my fingers, in that moment, God knew all of it. All right, you ready? He knows everything about you. And He still loves you. Still loves you. And He gives you power over that garbage. The devil wants to hang it around your neck and for you to live the rest of your life in bondage to him and the world and the flesh. And Jesus wants you to have the victory, to spend with him forever. Does that make sense to you? Am I just talking in a hole here? Does it make sense? Okay. All your relationships can change. But the first one that's got to change is your relationship with God. And that change can start immediately. Number three, you can begin living today. You don't have to sit by like a spectator and watch things spin out of control today. I guarantee you there are few of us in this room today, we have drank the Kool-Aid that says, there's nothing I can do. I'm powerless against my life. This is the way my life is going to go. It's going, pardon the French, to hell in a handbasket. And there's nothing I can do about it. I want you to know that part's true. There's nothing you can do about it, but there's everything God can do about it. If you let Him, if you let Him have access to it. When I was a kid, a young fella, I got my first car. And you know what you do with your first car back then? You work on it all the time. I'd be up under it for hours, you know, trying to fix this, fix that. I didn't know jack squat about what I was doing. I'd be out there. My daddy would come out. He'd look at me and say, he'd see my feet out from underneath. And I said, well, son, how's it going? Not too good. You need some help? No, I got it. No, I didn't. It's amazing what somebody can do that knows what they're doing. He'd come out later on, can I help you, son? Yeah, Dad, here it is. And it's like he just goes over and puts his hand on it. And immediately. Huh? How long have you been trying to fix your life? Isn't it time to let the master mechanic take over? The one who knows what he's doing. You know how I know that he knows what he's doing? Because every part of Chris, every hair on his head, the way his ear is, the shape of that lobe. God created this young man. He made him, and he knows about him. But more than that, God knows about his heart. And the master mechanic can fix his creation. But he's got to have access. The risen Jesus has his arms open wide. Number four. I will live forever with Jesus and all other Christians. That's the promise that we have today. Every funeral that I do, one of the great hopes that we pronounce at the graveside is happy reunion one day for all those who know Jesus. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Like David said in the Old Testament about his little child, that little child isn't coming back to me, but one day I'm going to go and be with that little child. Why? Because of the resurrection. Because of resurrection power of Jesus. Now, I said to you earlier, there had to be a death. You see, you've got to die to your way of doing it. I had to die to my way of fixing my car. I had to die to my agenda in my life and fixing my life and fixing what was inside of me. A death must occur so that resurrection can happen. Jesus wants us to come to Him in faith and trust and say, Jesus, I die to my sin. Come and live in me. Finally, you can take the first step right now. Well, some of you are thinking, well, you know, I don't understand everything. You know what? When I gave in to my daddy's help on that automobile, I still didn't know jack squat about what he did. But I knew that he knew what the problem was, and I turned it over. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to have a PhD in Christianity. Secondly, it is Jesus that's speaking to you right now. Third, and He's waiting on you to respond to Him personally. So what are you going to do about it? We'd sure like to know today that everybody in here that has heard the good news of Jesus has received Him in your life. Have you done that? Have you received Jesus in your life? When? When did that happen? When did the change occur? You know, a lot of people join the church and never join Jesus. Do you have Jesus in your life? That's the question. I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. If you'd like to receive Jesus in your life, you can pray this prayer with me. And after you pray this prayer, know that if you mean business with God, He means business with you. He will come into your life and He'll make you a new person. He came into my life on July 19th, 1970, changed me, and my life has never been the same since. He'll change you today if you let Him. If you let Him. And I'd like to know about it if you prayed this prayer with me. Preferably if you'd come up and forward and say, you know, Pastor, I prayed this prayer with you today. Because we'd like to help you grow in your faith. But if you're uncomfortable with that, don't want to do that, at least write it on that card that you have today. Say, I received Jesus in my life today. And if you'd like for us to call you on the phone, let's talk about it a little bit more. We can do that. And maybe today, maybe, listen to me, maybe you weren't quite ready to do that, but you got some more questions. I'd love to talk to you. Okay, let's pray together. Before we pray, does what I have said today make sense to you? Is it clear? I don't think I've stuttered today. Okay. Then let's pray. I want you to know right now, everywhere that I went in Africa, when we were in the country of Nigeria, I asked leaders there, pastors there, to pray for us. I asked them to pray for the power of God. I asked them to pray for salvation. I asked them to pray that there would be renewal beginning right here. And you know what? Some of them are thinking about, they're sending missionaries to us. Praise be to God. I said, come on, bring them on. Bring them on to share the gospel. We need Jesus today. Let's pray. Now, Lord, right now, I thank you for your power and your presence that is over this place. Lord, I bless you today. I bless you today for all that you have done in the earth. Lord, as we have seen your power and your presence, we have seen you do marvelous things. And on this Resurrection Sunday, we ask you to do miracles in our lives. And Lord, in these next moments as we pray together, I want to pray for those who have never made that first commitment to Jesus. May this be the day of salvation. And if you're ready to pray with me, you can pray this prayer. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross in my place. Thank you for rising on the third day. I realize I need you. I admit I have sinned. And I ask you, Jesus, right now to forgive me and come into my life. I give my life to you, my Lord Jesus. If you prayed that prayer with me today and you meant business, then God means business with you, and we'd sure like to know about it. Either come and let me know at the front here or put it on your card. Now I want to pray another prayer. Anybody else got any needs here? Any physical needs here? Anybody? Anybody need healing here today? Anybody got a load of junk in your life that is just about to overwhelm you right now? You don't know what to do. Anybody? I got some hands up around here. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we talked about you being Lord over all. Now we're coming to you as Lord over all. And we're asking you, Jesus, for your healing, for your power to come. Lord, I'm praying for people right now who have aches and pains, Lord, that you will take those away. I'm praying for some, Lord, who have cancer, that it would be lifted from them in Jesus' name. Lord, for any of those who have heart problems, in Jesus' name today, I'm praying you would take that away from them right now. That the risen great physician would come right now. Lord, I'm praying for Christians who are overwhelmed by garbage in their lives right now. We are cutting off the garbage right now in Jesus' name. And by the power of God, we're asking you, Lord, to come and to reveal your power and your strength, that we would be overcomers in Jesus' name. I'm asking you for that right now. And Lord, I'm praying for some who are so discouraged today, Lord, that you would comfort them right now and lift them up on this Resurrection Sunday. We make this prayer in the powerful name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our great physician, our Master, our Redeemer, the one who died in our place. Amen. The altar is open. Come, if you will. Pastors, if y'all would, come. The altar is open. Come as God leads you today. Respond to the Lord. Has God answered any prayers for anybody today? Anybody had an answer to prayer today? Put your hand up if you got an answer to prayer. God spoke to you today. All right. Second question. Did anybody hear from the Lord today? Did God speak to anybody? You heard a message clear from Him today. Put your hand up. I want to see it. All right. Anybody today that you need a breakthrough today? You need a breakthrough. You haven't gotten it yet, but you need it today. Put your hand up. Okay. All right. I want to pray one more prayer. Lord, I'm praying right now that you will break through whatever it is in each of these situations. You're Lord over all. We just got through singing, "Pour over me. Pour over me." Lord, when we're clothed in your anointing in our lives, there is nothing that stands in our way that you can't defeat. And we're asking you to do that right now in Jesus' name. We're asking for victory in Jesus' name and by His power. And I bless you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He is risen. And He is Lord over all. Let's praise His name. He is the Lord over all. Let's sing together.